Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Wayman Tisdale, Aubrey Cosby, Joey Devine, Todd Lichty, Jimmer Forget, Sean Keane, Spud Webb, Mateen Cleaves, Patreons, John L. Thank you, John. Damon Agnos. Thank you, Damon. Drake Campbell. Thank you, Drake. Musical guest, Tesla. And now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with another brand new episode. I'm here, as always, with America's Uncle Dad and America's least informed about the new CBA co-host, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I'm trying to get through that thing, but...
How's that going? How far? You have a legal background.
It hasn't been great. I don't understand why somehow they didn't lower the draft age so people could invest in cannabis companies. I believe that's the main thrust of the CBA. I don't know. But
all I know,
it seems like a big win for Spencer Dinwiddie.
All I know is we have a second apron now, so congrats. Oh,
thank God. Congrats. One more apron. One more. Let's get a third apron.
Yeah. I don't know. I do think when I think about the things that could be fixed in basketball, I'm always like, there needs to be more arbitrary lines that confusing for fans.
Yeah, really confusing.
Why their team can't sign or trade for players.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I like it being confusing. I like it when people get mad. I like when four or five players have to change homes only to get waived so that a billionaire can get a slightly more favorable tax write-off.
Yeah, I also like... My favorite thing about rooting for sports is when billionaires have like a made up reason not to spend money. It's my favorite thing in the world.
Ooh, yeah. That's good. Ooh, that's
like,
good.
Just an arbitrary reason.
Yeah, and they say it's like a tax too. Yeah. So it's like the only tax that actually concerns them. Guys who are paying $0 in income tax are still even dodging luxury taxes in sports. Oh yeah. Oh, this is good. It's going to be some sweet CBA action. I'm excited. I can't believe it doesn't kick in for another year. Oh my God.
Why can't it kick in tomorrow?
Yeah.
I want to know exactly how much Joe Lacob doesn't have to spend now to claim he's going to use some arbitrary thing to not spend, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not using words now. I'm making as much sense as I'm sure the legalese in the CBA is making right now.
Well, the other thing I'm excited is that finally those lazy, excuse my French here, pieces of shit like Steph Curry and Kevin Durant milking injuries, intentionally spraining their MCLs, just so they can make an all NBA team and not get off their asses for 65 whole games. And I'm very excited that, you know, we're going to see second team all NBA Bam Adebayo as a result.
Did you see Kevin Durant's tweet about that today? Actually?
Yeah, that was awesome. It's the dumbest. That is so 65 games. Like, did they?
So Kevin Durant is like, let me tell the listeners what Kevin Durant tweeted. So Shane Young tweeted, Kevin Durant is now averaging 29.1 points on 61.7%, 40.4%, and 91.9% shooting splits for the entire season. And then in brackets put 47 games. And then Kevin Durant quote tweeted it and said, don't count, didn't play 65 games.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's funny because it seems like a lot of this CBA is designed for the most annoying people on Twitter primarily.
Yeah.
Like who's among like actual basketball fans and players, who is up in arms about someone making an all NBA team when they played 64 games? That's what Steph Curry played last year when he was first team all NBA.
Well, don't worry, Sean. There's a game limit, but luckily it won't affect how much money the players make at all, right?
Right, right.
Like,
that's
it's
good.
Just a, like, the all NBA teams are just trophy. Sort of an arbitrary thing, right?
Oh actually, no, Joey, it's going to be worth like $40 million when John Morant doesn't make it this year.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to multitudes of games towards the end of the season where good players play just for the tip off and then leave the game.
That's going to be
it's
so
gonna make
cool.
The sport much better.
That's what we want. We want to count things arbitrary. We need a firm limit because it's not like people who vote can just look at that number themselves and decide. We need to make it as complicated as possible. Was the salary cap pretty hard to understand? Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be even more difficult to understand? Yeah, it is. We're getting a third two-way contract, baby.
Yeah.
It's going to be impossible to know what a first-place team can even do at a trade deadline. They're only allowed, I think if you're over the second apron and somebody gets hurt, you just have to pull a fan out of the stands.
Yeah, because you're not allowed, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you're over the second apron...
Mm-hmm.
Sounds so stupid already.
You can't
sign guys to a mid-level exception, which fair.
No, you cannot do that.
Which is dumb, but fair. But you also can't trade for more money than you're sending out. So you can't do the Clippers special of signing a bunch of guys for $5 million and then trading those guys for an $18 million player at the deadline.
Yeah, right. Even though both
teams are consenting to that trade. Anyway,
yeah, I don't know if this was a joke or if it was real, but I saw someone also said you can't sign guys for the veteran minimum at their buyout time.
Yeah, you can't sign buyout guys. Yes.
That is so insane.
I just don't know who was negotiating, because it sounds like most team executives have no idea what happened either. And the players kind of had no idea what happened. You know who I blame, Joey? CJ McCollum.
Why? Because he was too busy podcasting to go to the
meetings? I mean, I'm just saying the Players Association leadership, doesn't he seem like the most likely guy in that group to make this kind of... So here's the executive committee, and maybe this will shed some light on why their priority was like, yeah, we should be able to invest in cannabis and gambling companies. Okay, mm-hmm. Here is the executive committee. President, CJ McCollum. Mm-hmm.
Dwight Powell, I believe.
First vice president is Grant Williams.
Uh-huh, great.
Now, this next guy is secretary treasurer. I swear to God, this guy feels to me like he should be the secretary treasurer of every organization he's ever been in.
Mm-hmm.
The Model UN, the NBA's number one Model UN delegate, Harrison Barnes.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The other vice presidents are Bismack Biyombo.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Malcolm Brogdon.
Mm-hmm.
Jaylen Brown. Now, Jaylen Brown definitely had some ideas about ownership. And Garrett Temple.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Donovan Mitchell. Wow. So a lot of young Sheldon have ended up on this.
Just it's the nerds should not be allowed to run.
And then,
this.
Yeah, Jaren Jackson Jr. The thing is, most people don't want this job.
Yeah.
They got bullied and like tricked. Anyway, so yeah, that's why they're like, yeah, 65 game. That sounds good. And like you can tell they all like crazy ideas, mm-hmm. when you could have just made things very simple.
Yeah. Well, I know is what this is going to lead to, because this happens every CBA, mm-hmm. where they specifically pick out an owner that is bothering them because they care about basketball and not making money.
Yeah.
It's going to backfire on the quote unquote small market owners, because here's what's going to happen now. Like, uh-huh. if you're the owner of the Indiana Pacers, right? Your whole idea should have been, my dream is to be the Golden State Warriors, right? To have drafted like five All-Stars. I need to make it so I can keep those All-Stars for as long as possible, and it'll be annoying to help Joe Lacob in the short term, but in the long term. But now what's going to happen is teams are going to be afraid to sign second and third guys that they drafted.
Well, right. I mean, before, they freaked out about the Miami Heat, and the result was that the Oklahoma City Thunder got broken up.
Yeah.
Like that.
That's exactly what's going to happen this time.
The Miami Heat have been doing business the exact same way they were before the decision, and the Thunder have just been, like, reeling and just, like, I guess we just have to have 12 rookies all the time. That's the only way it works.
But that is exactly what's going to happen this time.
We don't know how it's going to get screwed up for them, but it will.
The Memphis owner is going to be like too afraid to go over this apron to sign Desmond Bane, and they're going to have to trade him.
Well,
do you know what I
now
mean?
You,
it's like, well, and maybe it's not Desmond Bane, but it's like something like that is going to happen several times over, and it'll be like, wow, the Lakers somehow just, because they're not afraid to not have a mid-level exception, because players will just want to live in Los Angeles.
Yeah, right.
Now traded for every fourth round draft, I mean, fourth pick in the draft in the last 5 years.
Well, you know, if you think about it, so one of the other things they did is they teams can now have three supermaxes instead of two, which I think they're mistakenly saying supermax. I think they mean the 5 year veteran, the 5 year rookie extension, but Sean said supermax, but the supermax has not really helped smaller markets, Joey.
No,
it's been like kind of like an anchor,
mm-hmm.
you know, It's
C1
like
C1 Portland Trailblazers.
I mean, that's about to happen. I mean, that's the sad thing with the Blazers is neither side will admit that they want Dame Lillard to play somewhere else. And it's yes. not anything against Dame. They're very thankful, but they're just at different points in their mm-hmm. NBA lives right now. But Lillard has gone, he's pushed all his chips on being the loyalty guy who stayed. Mm-hmm. And we're about a year and a half into him, not 2 years into him.
Yeah.
Really regretting that stance.
Yeah, it's a real men are from Milwaukee, dames are from Portland situation.
And you know, it's like he is at the point in his career where he should do what the greatest Blazer of all time, Clyde Drexler, did. Mm-hmm. And you
demand
know,
demand to play with his college teammate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who's the best Weber State player? Yeah. Anyway, yeah, the CBA is going to be a disaster, but it's probably going to be a funny one. There's so many weird things for no reason that I think there's going to be a lot of like easily predictable regret that happens.
Right. It's just so funny that they do this every year. Every time it comes around, they get mad at one specific owner who made some one specific rule, and then it uh-huh. They cut off their own noses to spite their faces.
Well, it's because they're letting a Reddit thread negotiate a collective bargaining agreement. Where look, this theory. look, okay.
Sean, yeah. Some business. We kind of started talking about the news before the news portion of episode. Some business off the top. Round Rock Pod. At gmail.com, twitter.com, where we promise we will not share Substacks, at Round Rock Pod.
Never.
patreon.com/roundrockpod if you'd like to hear Sean's bonus episodes and sometimes stuff for me. I need to hold up my end of the deal there. Sorry. Also, you can join our Discord there, where our Discord listeners learned it first, Sean. I mean, the winner or the championship game for the alumni Final Four has been decided.
Ooh, this is exciting.
Sean, the winner of the David Roth bracket with 54.5% of the vote, much closer than any of us thought it would be, considering he's one of the most beloved celebrities of all time, is Chris Farley.
Wow.
Robert Loggia really making it close.
I mean, Loggia's an excellent, I don't know, he's like a perfect alumni March Madness kid.
Agreed. So. I would say all four, this was our best bracket ever, at least in the Final Four.
Yeah.
And then the winner of the Matt Austin bracket, mm-hmm. in a rout, just destroying Crossword Puzzle King Will Shorts, Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's, Terry Kaiser from Kansas, is moving on to take on Chris Farley. And Sean, I don't want to influence the vote here.
Yes.
But I would prefer if someone who was not a cast member of SNL won this tournament here. That's all I'll say. I won't say which one.
Right. Wouldn't it be funny if we looked and we're like, wow, Terry Kaiser was on during the Gene Domanian years? Like, he and Charles Rocket used to do coke together. I'm not saying that Terry Kaiser did cocaine. He certainly looks like he did cocaine, but that's just a joke.
That's why he got cast as Bernie.
Right.
But yeah, I personally think that Terry Kaiser winning this bracket would be, for me, exactly my ideal winner for when I imagined this tournament.
I think Joey would actually enjoy that more than the Warriors titles in 2017 and 2018. Yeah.
That Google Doc is in the description of this episode. Vote for your winner. Yeah. It'll also be on twitter.com, where, again, we do not share Substacks. Do not worry about that. Mm-hmm. Speaking of
Substacks, we just make fat stacks, yo.
We don't do that either. Speaking of Substacks, Sean, a friend of ours with a Substack gave us a phone call.
He did.
Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for movie times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right, you too can leave a message for Sean and Joey, just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342. Please give me a call, being a robot is a solitary road.
All right, Sean, we got a phone call from the man, the myth, the legend himself about a man, a myth, a legend. Here is the host of the Turtle Pond podcast, Corbin A. Smith, talking about LaMarcus Aldridge retiring.
Oh, hey, what's up, big Corbs? Yuck, yuck. Calling in. Because Joey and Sean asked me to call in to talk about LaMarcus Aldridge officially retiring. If I'm being 100% honest with the fellas in the audience right now, I went through all my LaMarcus Aldridge retiring feelings like a while back, the first time he retired, and I wrote about it over at Willamette Week. Check it out, wweek.com/LaMarcus Aldridge. What? But I can, you know, I like him, so I'll go through it again, I guess. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge, he was a basketball player. During a time, look, okay, the Portland Trailblazers in the beginning of the decade, they're supposed to be the shit, right? And then, Roy and Odin, they got it. So, turns out, they weren't the shit. Whoops. But even though there was this fallout from them not being the shit, they did still employ the services of LaMarcus Aldridge, who I think served nobly in the cause as a big man who sometimes shot too many jumpers, not shooting threes, but, you know, was pretty sick. Decent defender. You know what? Sick. Sick isn't the right word. He was a big dog, all right? That's what he was. The Blazers needed a big dog at a certain point when, like, everything was supposed to fall out for them. And LaMarcus Aldridge was willing to be that big dog. I will also, like, one of the best offensive lineups you could see in your entire fucking life, Andre Miller, Wes Matthews, Nicholas Batum, Gerald Wallace, Crash himself, Blazer legend, even though he was not even there for a whole year, LaMarcus Aldridge, murderous offensive lineup that also had Gerald Wallace in it. And, that was, you know, I think we could all agree that was the height of Blazer basketball and that Andre Miller is in fact the only acceptable point guard the Portland Trailblazers have ever had. So that's all. Let's get Andre back on the squad. You know, I think he's looking to get back in the NBA. I think we can all agree. That game is eternal. Steve's is eternal. And his power, his, psychological and, you know, frankly, sexual power, Andre Miller's is overwhelming. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I hope that when I retire, someday, someone talks about how hot Andre Miller is during my retirement speech. Thank you, Big Corbs.
That was great.
Thank you, LaMarcus Aldridge, for your service.
Joey, before this call, did you realize LaMarcus Aldridge had retired again?
I did, only because I'm on Twitter 20 hours a day.
Yeah, he did not play this season.
I know he tried out for the Dallas Mavericks.
He tried out for them in February. So yeah. He basically decided to retire once he wasn't coming back this year. And you know what? How do you really hate on that? That a guy just wanted to keep playing basketball, you know?
Speaking of the Dallas Mavericks, I know we have more reader voicemails I want to get to.
Yeah.
I don't see it on the list here, and I think we need to talk about it. How much are you enjoying the fact that Mark Cuban is losing his fucking mind, Sean?
Well, I'm loving it, obviously. but my favorite thing about the Mavs meltdown is that Kyrie is skating. Mm-hmm. Like, Kyrie hasn't really done anything. I thought it would blow up more when he left the team to go to a funeral of an anti-violence activist.
Uh-huh.
But A, that's not really controversial. He didn't miss a game for that, you know?
Yeah.
He just had a bad foot. Like, he gets hurt. But that this is almost an entirely Cuban-specific meltdown.
Yeah.
And it's incredible.
You saw the Mavericks essentially bowed out of trying to make the play-in game tonight, right?
Are they benching everybody?
Yeah, they're benching everyone but Luka.
That is so wild, because aren't they like tied almost? They have the same record as the 10 seed.
Yeah, so Dallas
are they bowing out of making the play-in? Mark
Stein says, Dallas appears to be prioritizing draft position over its dwindling play-in chances now. Kyrie Irving, Josh Green, Tim Hardaway Jr., Maxi Kleber, and Christian Wood all out tonight.
So their draft position is 10th, by the way. I guess they do have a top 10 protected pick for the Knicks. Oh my God. I have to say, I'm going to pick a specific team here. I want the Toronto Raptors to jump into the top four. That's what I really want. Like, get a high pick and bump the Mavericks out so they go down to 11 and they still lose their pick after this cowardly behavior at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
God, that is sad. Like it's one thing
that,
when, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
We
go
say
ahead.
Before
sorry.
That, for no reason, last week, several things happened. Mark Cuban, out of nowhere, said that Jalen Brunson was going to sign there until his dad got involved.
That is demonstrably not true, yeah, but yes. In fact, every Mavs person was like, "Nope."
Which I think, though, was sort of a reaction to something else that was happening with a famous NBA dad. Tim Hardaway had to apologize. Tim Hardaway Sr.
Yes, he did.
Had to apologize for saying that Luka was not a good leader. And what did Tim Hardaway really say?
Did dad apologize? Or I know the son was like, I don't endorse what my dad said about my friend sucking. But I didn't know that.
I think Tim Hardaway Sr. also apologized. Yes.
He apologized. The only thing I have is that he made an apology about saying that a player was getting raped on defense I don't think he apologized. I think the son apologized
on
his behalf.
My mistake.
Hardaway apologized on his father's behalf.
Yeah, well, you know what, though? I gotta say, Tim Hardaway Sr. was correct. I'm just going to go out on a limb there.
Well, he called him a crybaby. He said Luka and Kyrie are not leaders and they're complementary dominant basketball players.
He also called Dorian and Spencer defensive anchors and that he wouldn't have made the Kyrie Irving trade.
Wow, just because the season went directly into the toilet and they've gone from the fourth place team in the West to resting their players to preserve draft position, even though oh my God. So yeah, so Mark Cuban said that. He also said, like, he loves Kyrie Irving and he wants to sign him, but he wouldn't commit to giving him a max. So he's already laying the foundation for Kyrie leaving. Also,
He protested a game.
He protested
and then the
game.
NBA made fun of him.
The NBA made fun of him and made him. So they protested the game because there was some confusion. The Warriors basically got to inbound the ball while the Mavs were at the wrong side of the basket because they misunderstood a referee's signal. And then the Mavs' own announcer said it was Mavericks' ball. Mm-hmm. However, the Mavericks were still at the wrong place to inbound the ball anyway. And you just can't protest something that happens in the third quarter. Because the idea
is you lost a game.
You had 15 minutes to win the game. Yeah, like, it's not like
it didn't happen. We all, seconds left in the
well,
game.
Well, and when a game is like 120 to 118, we all kind of acknowledge in basketball that there's going to be a couple calls that go the wrong way.
Yeah.
But they also made Mark Cuban admit that what he tweeted about it was incorrect.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In denying his protest.
Had like 100,000 characters, and it appears he only bought Twitter Blue to make that tweet, and then the next day was complaining.
He's losing thousands of followers
about Twitter Blue. Yeah,
that he's losing 500 to 1,000 followers a day. I mean, when Elon Musk and Mark Cuban are talking, the worst people in the entire world are listening.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I mean, I'm
and
listening,
that is
but I'm
Kevin
also
O'Connor
pointing fingers.
From the ringer.com.
Damn, shots fired. So yeah, it's a total meltdown, and I got to say, the Brooklyn Nets have to be feeling pretty good about that 2029 pick, and the Los Angeles Lakers have to be feeling pretty good about signing Luka Doncic when his contract ends.
But they won't have a mid-level exception, Sean.
Oh, you're right. Luka won't play for the mid-level.
That's why they won't do it.
You're right. They're playing chess. I'm playing checkers here. Boy, what a satisfying failure. And also, it's just amazing that Kyrie Irving's hands are like completely clean.
Yeah. He did
He's
nothing.
He's been an ideal
time.
Teammate.
Yeah.
They're benching him. Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
All right.
The Mavericks failed Kyrie Irving the first time he hasn't failed a team in 5 years.
All right, Sean, we got another call from our friend John L., one of our favorites.
Yeah.
Hi, Sean and Joey. It's John L. I don't know if you saw that. We're getting close to Charles Barkley getting his own show on TNN, or I guess he's getting a show with Gayle King on TNN. And I heard this, and I was thinking about how we measure time. I was thinking about when Anthony Scaramucci got fired from the Trump administration, and how after that, you know, anytime, you know, someone get fired from something or anything would happen, people would start saying, oh, he lasted 4 Scaramucci's, or this thing was 11 Scaramucci's. And so my question for you is, how many Chevy Chase shows do you think the new Barkley show will last? Thanks.
It's going to be on forever. This show's going to be on forever. I'm going to tell you that right now. So 100,000 Chevy Chase shows? Like, I don't even know how to... Because CNN just puts stuff on and it's on forever.
So the Chevy Chase show is 5 weeks. The Magic Hour, I believe, is 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to beat both of those. Also, I still don't totally understand how they can do this, Joey.
What do you mean?
Well, like, Gayle King doesn't work for CNN. She hosts the morning show on CBS, which seems like a better job than this, except I guess you have to get up really early.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, can she do both? I don't understand. It makes a little more sense because at least CNN and TNT have the same parent company. Mm-hmm. So I get how that works. Does it seem to you like Charles Barkley doesn't want a job where he works every night, Joey?
I just don't think this is going to involve him working every night. Plus, I think this show is going to be amazing. It's going to be great, dude. First off, Gail King is like the female Charles Barkley in that everyone just loves hanging out with her.
Yeah, she's she's a really good morning show host. She like I think that look, now that I am in a relationship with someone who is more involved in PR, mm-hmm. I watch the Today Show and the early show, I think, on CBS. Gail King runs a professional operation. Mm-hmm. She reminds me of actually is James Brown in a studio show.
And here's what I'm going to pitch right now.
Okay, great.
She's not going to do this for anybody but Gail King.
Okay.
But when there's an episode that the two of them cannot appear on, they need to do an episode that is co-hosted by Oprah and whoever Charles Barkley's best friend is.
Well, I mean, it's like, or Ernie Johnson or Kenny Smith. It's one of the inside guys.
No, that's not his best friend. His best friend is like a random doctor he met in a hotel. You know this about Charles Barkley. His best friends are all weird, random people. Remember that story about that Chinese immigrant doctor that he met at a hotel one time and then became best friends?
That's his best friend in the world. I'm reading the Barkley biography for the podcast right now. We have not gotten to that. Chuck is still in high school.
Yeah, far as I've got. His best friends are going to be some guy who bought him a beer at like a Radisson Hotel in Iowa for some reason, and Oprah Winfrey. You do a show where their best friends host when they can't appear.
I would love to have Charles's backup sub be one of his best friends, Tiger Woods, who doesn't answer any questions. He's just interviewing people and like, it's like him interviewing a Navy SEAL or like talking to, the state senator from Tennessee who just got kicked out, and then Tiger interviews him.
But yeah, this is so much better than CBS's normal CNN's normal programming, which is like a serious version of I Love the 90s now all the time.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, yeah, it's like the relative of a politician shouting.
Yeah,
who then it turns West out Wing yeah. writer. Yeah, like every you just watch and you're like, okay, 40% of the people on my screen right now have at least been investigated for sexual harassment at work. So I think the idea is they want to do it like Larry King Live. Like, I don't think it's going to be like a live show, but I think it's going to be more interviews.
Yeah, it's like the Charles Grodin show, which was also on one of these networks forever. People don't remember that, but do you remember Charles Grodin hosted a really boring talk show?
Well, it was funny because his whole thing when he went on talk shows was to be as difficult as possible. And then the evolution of that was hosting his own like 10 p.m. CNBC, like Charlie Rose with Charles Grodin. Okay, what if they did a version of The Cube?
Look, they're gonna send them on so many. They're gonna like just fill this out, right? It's like they're gonna film all of these in like a month, you know what I mean? They're gonna work really hard for like a month, but it'll be lots of them doing stunts.
Remotes. And it's gotta be places where Chuck might be going anyway.
Yeah. So, like, where various golf courses are.
You gotta find, like, a story about race or food near a golf course or a casino. Mm-hmm. Or that Chinese doctor's house.
All right. Anyway, I look forward to watching Chuck and Gale on TV at a hotel room the next time I'm at a hotel, because that is the only place
that does
I
have real cable. Yeah.
All right, Sean, we got 5 quick questions from our friend Texting Miss Eliza. Here we go. I'm just going to run them down for you real quick. Ready? Better SNL cast member, Bill Murray or Phil Hartman?
Phil Hartman.
Yeah, it's easily Phil
Hartman. More versatile. Bill Murray's great at being Bill Murray, you know.
Better food, Super Stew.
We're just talking about SNL. It's okay. Stew.
Better movie, Good Will Hunting or The Town?
I think Good Will Hunting is a better movie, and I'm more affectionate about it, but I think I would rather watch The Town if it popped up on TNT.
Sure. Better power forward, Marvin Bagley III or Jahlil Okafor?
MB3 just for the beats, and Okafor is like barely shoots well enough to be a center, it feels like.
Better revolutionist, Lennon or Mal?
You gotta give me that Lennon!
All right. And then we got one more question from John L. Would Montel Jordan be getting reality show gigs in 2023 if not for how we do it?
Yeah, how we do it. The interactive prank show run by Howie Mandel. It was not a hidden camera show because they were fake auditions. And what was the theme song to that show, Joey?
This is how we do it.
This is how we do it. Yeah.
By Montel Jordan. Yeah.
Yeah. There's also a great episode of Delocated where he has a prank show called John He Does It.
Love
and the theme song is This Is How He Did. Anyway, this is John He Does It. One of the greatest episodes of a truly great show.
All right, should we? Oh, we have one final 4 related voicemail. Yeah. We asked for voicemails. I'm sorry, this one. From MM.
We only got one, but it was...
It's a good one. Here we go.
To find the deserving winner of the Round Ball Rock Alumni Tournament, start with a 9-letter word that means a video clip of a bad moment that happens at a sporting event. Remove the 7th letter of the alphabet and add in the 18th and the 26th. Then unscramble the letters and you'll get the deserving winner of the tournament.
Well, I'm sorry, MM. No Will Shorts.
Yeah, that you take low light, you take out the G, you add the R and the Z. We get it. That was a good
it's
voice.
It's a great call, though. I love it.
Really, really good call.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the news real quick, and let's do these. We've done the important news, I think, so let's just run through these pretty fast here.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
Well, Sean, the Sacramento Kings have done it. They've made the playoffs. They did what the pizza guy himself could not do. Make the playoffs. I cannot find the pizza guy drop. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry, pizza guys. I'm sorry, Isaiah Thomas.
Congratulations.
Oh, wait, here it is.
What kind of guy is Isaiah Thomas? He's quick, fiery, and determined.
And I'm a pizza guy. That's why I'm loving the fresh from scratch pizza at Pizza Guys. Are you a pizza guy? Then get the Pizza Guys.
Real pizza, real value, Pizza Guys.
Congratulations, Sacramento Kings, on being playoff guys.
Congratulations to the Railroad Museum, to the place in Old Town with the Big Ben candy, to the weird ziggurat in West Sacramento.
Congratulations
to Lady Bird, to Sasha Gray, to everybody at Taco John's, to everybody at the How About Arden Center, to the Sacramento Punchline and the sleep train across the mini mall from the Sacramento Punchline. Mm-hmm. What are we leaving out? Chris Webber's closed restaurant in Natomas.
Jessica Chastain.
That's right, Jessica Chastain. Much love, Tesla. The band Tesla.
The Deftones.
Is the rapper Murs from there?
The Deftones or the Deftones?
I think
from
the
Sacramento?
Deftones are there. The River Cats, baby. Rayleigh Field all over Sac State. Let's go Golden Gators. That fake Golden Gate Bridge they have in the middle. Why? I don't know. The historic landmark of the jail, which is in the cityscape background of the Sacramento Punchline. That park that has every tree in California in it.
Oh, Cake.
Cake, the band Cake.
Yeah, we
hell have, yeah, the band most Cake.
The most important Sacramento.
The Lavender District, that's the gay part of Sacramento, but it's only like a 2x2 block.
LeVar Burton.
LeVar Burton?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Brie Larson.
That's right. That's right. My dog, Gray Davis.
Molly Ringwald.
Molly, wow. I didn't know that stuff. And what else do people, what else?
Colin Hanks.
Colin, what?
It says born and raised. I don't know, man.
I guess that's probably right.
Sam Elliott. This is a good list.
Sacramento is a full, isn't Joe Morgan from Sacramento?
Probably. I don't see him on this list. Do you know who is, though?
Oh.
I don't know if he's from there, but he lived there at one point. Morton Downey Jr.
Oh, my God. Wait, Morton Downey Jr. lived in Sacramento?
He's on the list of notable people.
I thought he was like Captain New Jersey.
Look, I'm just telling you.
Okay. Are there any attractions we're leaving out that we have? Oh, the fair. The fair. The biggest livestock in California. And a weird, fascinating display where every county gets to do something, and San Francisco just usually sends a banner about what team won a championship league last.
Wait, this one's gonna blow your mind, Sean. Chook.
Ooh.
The band, that's three exclamation points. They're apparently from Sacramento.
Wow. Tell Giuliani.
Creed Bratton.
Who plays Creed Bratton on The Office?
I'm not seeing anybody else. It's really, Death Grips. Good.
Is that a band?
Yeah, that's like a...
Oh, I thought that was Sasha Grey. Hey, that's right, everybody.
Lee Greenwood.
Oh, he's proud to be a Sacramento one. Or at least he knows he's free.
Herb Cain?
Wow.
Honestly, Joan Didion?
I gotta say, whoa. Honestly, I gotta say, props to Natomas, to Roseville, to Elk Grove, where I'll be performing in July, actually. I'll be headlining Comedy Under the Stars. Davis.
Wait, why is Mark Twain on this list? He's not from
Murder Burger. Everybody a Murder Burger. So that place isn't open anymore.
What's the place that has the cheese skirt?
Oh,
that burger place?
I don't know. Sorry.
I don't know either.
Yeah, that's all I got. The Comedy Spot.
Anyway,
Ray Molina, comedian Ray Molina. Chaz Hawkins.
Johnny Taylor Jr.
These are funny guys from Sacramento. We're acting sarcastic, but all three of those guys are really funny.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Congratulations to the Kings, who are probably going to play the Warriors in a series that will divide Highway 80.
Well, I'll tell you what. If they are playing the Warriors, the Kings are going to win at least two games because the Warriors will fuck around. All right, I do not have faith in the Warriors. No, all right,
I'm just saying, if you're going to have any draw, they have lucked into. I mean, and again, this is not displaying faith in the Warriors. I'm just saying they are fortunate to not have to play Phoenix. They're fortunate to be on the opposite side of the bracket. If things play out like this,
see, they'll be on the opposite side of the I want Phoenix, Sean, and here's why.
Why is that?
As a Golden State Warrior fan, the only team I'm confident they won't fuck around against is the one with Kevin Durant and Chris Paul on it.
Because they'll be mad.
Yes.
Well, that team has never lost since Kevin Durant arrived there.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. But yeah, they'll be on the opposite side of the bracket as the Nuggets and Suns, and then the Grizzlies probably have to play the Lakers before round two. And anyway, it's for a team that's not very good. They're
speaking of the Lakers,
44 wins. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Our friend Harrison Fagan tweeted last night something that made us both lose our mind. Mm-hmm. Which was important Lakers update. Michael Thompson, Klay Thompson's dad, of course, for those that can't see how it's spelled, just came back from the commercial break on 7:10, explaining that he orders In-N-Out protein style because he, quote, has buns at home, then puts it in the fridge to heat up later. Quote, I have a system, he explained. Sean.
Yeah.
Some people we know were really losing their mind about this, but have a take, which is, I can't judge this until I hear what his system is.
That's, you know what? It's a good point. But here's the thing. When I read it at first, I love the phrase has buns at home.
Yeah.
Because it reminded me of former Toronto Mayor Rob Ford.
Mm-hmm.
When confronted about allegations that he had performed oral sex on a staffer, he said he had plenty to eat at home.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is the grossest thing a politician has ever said. R.I.P. Rest in power, Rob Ford. But I didn't. OK, so I'm on board with him because In-N-Out buns are trash. They're not good.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, they're kind of mealy. I don't get it. Compared to other burgers. But the fact that he's putting them in the fridge and like cooling them down in the lettuce, that like confounded me. Because now I'm like, the question is, what is the system?
Yeah. I can't judge this until I hear the system.
Because I kind of get that he puts them protein style and then he's got his buns at home and he makes the transfer. Mm-hmm. But clearly, there are like four or five steps that I haven't even considered in here.
So anyway, we will try and get Michael Thompson on for 10 minutes to explain the In-N-Out system. I don't believe that will happen, but we will try. He will at least answer a tweet, I bet, if we ask him.
Yeah,
He loves to tweet.
Yeah.
We love Michael Thompson, one of the NBA good guys. Speaking of another NBA good guy, Austin Reeves, just kidding, he's not an NBA good guy. He's getting a signature shoe.
Yeah, he is. Chinese company, yeah.
Go, you say this name. I don't know how to say
I think they're called Rigorer, which because they're a Chinese shoe company, just seems like they're opening themselves up to hack comedians from the 1980s. It could be like Rigorer or something like that. I don't know. I hate saying it because I couldn't say the letter R until I was 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And it still gives me flashbacks to even look at this word. Uh-huh. Anyway, his shoes are called the AR-1s, which
not
to
great.
Me is like...
That sounds like a gun.
Sounds like a gun.
You can't have an NBA... The NBA's most, like... Look, Austin Reeves is obviously not this...
He looks like he's
most Dylan Roof-esque NBA player possible.
He just seems like, I'm not saying he looks like he's in a militia, but he definitely knows someone who's joined a militia.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I don't think he's necessarily like a school shooter, but like insurrectionist adjacent.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So I tried to find the five least expected people in the NBA who have signature shoes.
Well,
Joey,
it's Matthew Dellavedova is number one. Well,
he is number one. The other ones, did you know that Spencer Dinwiddie had a signature shoe, Joey?
I did, with a weird company, another Chinese company, right?
I didn't bother to look up who it was. Aaron Gordon has a signature
shoe,
which I mean, right? Because a lot of things about Aaron Gordon suggest he would have a signature shoe. And then I'm like imagining the person who would buy Aaron Gordon's signature shoe.
Okay, so I believe Spencer Dinwiddie's shoes are his own.
Well, so anyone could technically have their own signature shoe then.
I don't think they're
Kairos.
Yeah, with an eight. I think they're
Kairos.
Yeah, right? He founded his own shoe company, Kairos. So that one doesn't count. Sorry, Spencer Dinwiddie.
These shoes do not look great, I gotta say.
I mean, it's cool he started his own shoe company.
I mean, they don't look that bad. Now that I'm looking at some of the other ones, I don't like the S logo. Or the sure. eight, or whatever it's supposed to be. But,
so okay. It looks like Aaron Gordon's are with someone named 361 Degrees.
Yeah, that sounds like the kind of math Aaron Gordon would do.
Well, it's 1 degree so beyond.
Like, yeah, 1 degree beyond. those are shoes to lose a dunk contest in. All right, did he? This one. I kind of get it, but also I cannot imagine anyone buying them.
Mm-hmm.
Is the CJ McCollum signature sure. shoe?
Yeah, yeah.
And then
I mean you, those like that he's with Li Ning.
Okay. And then that's Dwayne Wade's shoe company. Yeah.
I mean, yes, he doesn't own it, but yes.
Gordon Hayward is with Klay Thompson's shoe company, mm-hmm. Anta, the Anta Gordon Haywards. And I can't really think of anyone who would buy a Gordon Hayward signature shoe. But also looking at these shoes, I just can't see anyone buying one of these shoes. One of them kind of looks like it's Celtic colored and you'd like buy it as a prank. By the way, when I went to the Anta shop, I immediately got a pop-up that someone in Milpitas had purchased a Klay Thompson hat. So thank you, cookies on Anta's website. So those are the five. I got to say, Austin Reeves might earn a signature shoe more than three of those five people. I can mm-hmm. see that.
Sure.
And I wanted to add one thing. This isn't really a news story, but I don't know why it seemed relevant to us. The Miami Heat have added Cody Zeller to their rotation. Mm-hmm. They wanted some old white guys. Kevin Love, by the way, drew four charges last night,
mm-hmm.
which got him actually an automatic induction into the College Basketball Hall of Fame, even though he did it in the NBA. They're like, you're going in right next to Jimmy Boeheim, baby. But Cody Zeller, apparently, because he and Jimmy Butler love playing together, he suggested a nickname for their duo because everyone was looking for a shorthand way to refer to Cody Zeller and Jimmy Butler as a unit, Joey, right? Mm-hmm. That nickname is Black Man and Robin.
Sounds about right. That's like a real Miami Heat joke.
Yeah, it really is.
all right. I think that's our show, Sean. Yeah, we somehow stretched this one out. Sean, you have to go wine tasting.
I'm going wine tasting with two puppies who, with Pinot Noir and Junebug. Mm-hmm. So, but pretty exciting. They're. Also, Joey, you know,
I gotta say, quite the turnaround here in the last year from going from a child guy to a dog guy.
I know.
I don't know where you go next.
It's going to be great. I'm going to be a wine guy I'm going to just be a reply guy. Actually, those are going to be my favorite. Just anybody. If you're a comedian,
Oakland Dog Dad Defiant,
Defiant. It's going to be politicians and aspiring female comedians with public Instagrams between the ages of 21 and 27. That's my reply guy. Joey, you know how I've spoken on the podcast before about uncomfortable about being my dad's father.
Say that again.
You know, remember I was telling you that I didn't feel comfortable referring to my dog as being like,
okay. Yeah, I think you said my dad's father. That's
dog's father. Yeah. Sure, it's time travel paradox. Yeah.
I was like, did you get vice versa?
So what I did do yesterday, because I was feeling like, my girlfriend started referring to me as the dog's stepdad, which made me much more uncomfortable than just being called the dog's dad. So I played Shaquille O'Neal's song Biological Didn't Bother about his stepfather, Phil.
Well, that's good. Did it make you feel better?
It made Pino feel a lot better, too. Yeah,
okay, that's good. Anyway, congrats on the wine tasting. Congrats on the dog. Sean, where can people read your writing?
You can read it at yardbarker.com/NBA, where I have a Shaquille O'Neal update. I'll have a Shaquille O'Neal update on the Patreon about him getting a fish tank. And on Golden State of Mind, also Giants Baseball Insider.
Great.
And you can see me. I'll be closing out the Punchline on Tuesday, April 25th in San Francisco.
And then as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where on April 1st, I tweeted, I watch all the NASCAR races I can to learn as much as possible. My takeaway is A, you do not want to be leading late because you might get wrecked. And B, if you're not leading late, you just wreck the people in front of you. I'll continue to race clean and hope for the best.
Wow. Really okay. Not there. Passive aggressive at all.
Yeah. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. I don't. You got to do better on these CBAs, players. Yeah.
I don't practice in the arena. They don't let me shoot the ball. I should be out of the league, but I'm 7 feet tall. If I could find that Josiah, he owns the Brooklyn Nets. Well, first I'd ask if they could use a Turkish vet. Where I really wanna go, it's China. My political beliefs I can't define. Well, it's attention I need. Oh, my soul is in Turkey. Early in the morning, rising up to tweet, lighting up Americans about Nikes on their feet. Got to find a reason to slam LeBron. Got to find a way to escape racist Erdogan. I got some black teammates, I think they should shut up. I couldn't stop a sixth grader from taking it to the cup. Date a Rockefeller, cause if I play for your team, you're gonna be in the cellar. Only fight online, cause I gotta grow a pair. Once I broke my arm from punching a chair, I'm a scholar, here's my personal philosophy. Taking money, giving to the Republican Party. I handle what I got. The CIA stats right out, they're the ones who got JFK shot. A CIA job, it's what I got. I said, remember that, a CIA job, it's what I got. Ennis is a dork, fought with Cleveland in New York, but he couldn't get a reaction from LeBron James. He tried to take a poke while defending Frankie Smokes. His tough guy's act is a joke towards LeBron James. Portland gave him an offer sheet, then he tried to beat up a padded seat. I know John Bolton is still his good friend. He's gonna get a subsec and it's never gonna end. I get called for 3 seconds in the key. I'm an elbower and a pusher, like Adam Silver, friends with Jared Kushner. 2013 cool. Tell me, are you a Gulenist? Are you a Gulenist too? Ain't got no shoe deal no more. Play defense like a toreador. I'm such a chump. Won't somebody introduce me to Trump?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.